Hello, my name is Robin Sheridan, Spirit Whisperer, the title given to me by my soul guides. When we choose to awaken to our soul path, we become aware of how deeply connected we are to universal consciousness on a spiritual, physical, and emotional level. Join me on my podcast journey and learn how to connect to your heart, mind, body, and soul, creating connection in all areas of your life. Good afternoon. This is Robin Sheridan, and you are here for another episode of my coffee chat. My esteemed guest today is Maitreyi. Maitreyi, can you go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about you?
Sure. Well, first of all, Robin, it's such a pleasure to be with you, and thank you so much for inviting me to be on your podcast. I'm just excited to be here. I'm a women's empowerment and spiritual teacher, a holistic psychotherapist, a speaker, and an author, many things, a healer, a channel, and a sound healer. And I lead women's workshops, women's empowerment workshops, to help them heal from trauma, detox from patriarchy, and to find their voice, their power, their heart, and their purpose.
Yeah, I am just so honored to meet you. I know when we had our initial conversation, I think we talked for almost 40 minutes. It was just unbelievable. But one of the things that I was kind of intrigued about is you told me that you come from India. So I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about your childhood and the spirituality that you experienced there.
Sure. Yeah, so India, as you know, it's such a spiritual country. For centuries, spirituality has been for Indians and in the land itself, just this very, very sacred primary part of life, that everything is viewed from the perspective of the sacred. And I feel so fortunate and blessed to have been born and grown up there, lived there till I was 16. And I grew up a little bit outside a large city, so out in the suburbs, but it was in nature. So, and there were not many homes around. So I had this beautiful connection with Mother Earth. And I felt very at one with her, the animals that were around me, the trees. I grew up literally hearing the sounds of trees and rocks. And to me, that was the most normal and natural thing, just like my parents talking to me. And I thought everybody heard that. and it's a very close relationship. And growing up in India also, there's a sense, and everybody understands and knows that everything has consciousness. And everything is sacred. So both from a perspective point of view, as well as my own experiential point of view, I grew up knowing, believing, feeling, experiencing everything as sacred. So that was the foundation for my spirituality. And then, of course, there's the whole Indian, you know, the religions. I mean, I grew up Hindu, so that was my primary exposure, but the temples everywhere, goddesses everywhere, festivals every other week, you know, and the numerous gods and goddesses who were worshipped in different forms. So it was always felt like this dance and sacred relationship, that life was important, but then there was this, it was held with this larger importance of our purpose and who we are.
That would have just been amazing way to grow up. I mean, myself as a child, we just ran free. We, you know, we just were outside and we had fun and I enjoyed nature and really enjoyed a part of it. But I didn't feel so much connected the way you do. But still, there's a memory of me
always believing that my toys and my dolls had this energy. And I would always apologize, putting them back in the toy box during the day so my mom wouldn't be mad at me. And then when I'd go to bed, I'd pull them all out and throw them in the bed with me because I felt so guilty about it. I'm thinking they were cold. So I'm thinking on some level, when I was a child, I did kind of understand this, but I didn't have, I don't think I had any way to connect to it. Now, you explained that you, yeah. you also told me that you ended up coming to the United States, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Could you kind of tell us a little bit about that journey and how that affected your spirituality?
Yeah. So my family immigrated when I was 16. And we moved to North Carolina. And, you know, we were just starting out life. My father worked. My mother was trying to find work. And I went to college. It was a huge culture shock, of course. I'm coming from the other end of the world, and on an opposite culture. So it took me a couple of years to get oriented. And I think it was an adjustment for me to orient to, or to see that here there was so much emphasis on the material, on, you know, the lifestyle, of course, is much more luxurious and abundant than it was in India, even though I came from, you know, I have what I call, I think, is a privileged background in India. There was just a lot of time here devoted to that. And I didn't feel as free. And it took me a while to realize this absence of this spirituality. I found it in other ways. I found it through music. I majored in music, and music was another form of my spirituality. So I was grateful to have something like that and not going to, you know, something that didn't feel that way. But in terms of the life, I knew I felt like something got cut off and got cut out of the conversation. And I always felt like a part of me had to be left out because it wasn't acceptable, and or it had to be within a religious construct, which to me seemed just super defining, because for me growing up Hindu was a spirituality, wasn't a religion. And those two are very different. Yeah, so that was my experience. But of course I was 16, you know, so, but later meeting people and getting to know people. And then I realized there's different forms of spirituality. Like the people who studied music, you know, get spirituality in a whole other way. And so it was just different access points. And I think I learned to find those access points. And it seemed like maybe the mainstream had different access points. I wasn't Christian, so, and there weren't, you know, a lot of things that resembled my culture, but I found it through art and through the nature, which is so beautiful in this country.
Oh, yeah, that's, you know, and you're kind of right, because I was raised in a religious household, and there wasn't spirituality in it. It was, you know, the Bible says this, you do what you're told and you just have faith. And that was really hard for me mm-hmm. to understand. I really didn't get it. There was, you know, you could read the words, but there was no emotion behind the word. And then, you know, you meet people and they go to church and they're dressed up and they're in their Sunday best. But then, you know, during the week, you see that they're not following, you know, their religious beliefs. And that was so confusing for me as a child. Now, on our conversation, we also ended up talking about Mary, Mother Mary. And I explained to you that I also have connected with Mary Magdalene. So could you tell us about how it came about that you ended up connecting with Mother Mary?
Yeah. Well, I will. And I think there was sort of a bit of a precursor which enabled me to open to that. I guess it was 2002 or something like that. I was questioning my marriage, and very stuck between the Indian construct that a woman, once she's married, stays married. And I was married to an Indian man at the time, but also wanting to choose myself, and didn't know how to find my way out of that. And Kali, the goddess Kali, appeared to me in a very, very powerful way and stayed with me, literally with me for 7 years. So I had this exquisite journey and relationship with the divine feminine in an acceptable way from my culture, even though I never had a relationship with Kali before. I wasn't religious, I was spiritual. But it was a perfect time of an empowering feminine force coming into my life to enable me to make a very empowered decision for myself as a woman. And that was an extraordinary, otherworldly experience, as all of these are. So I will say that prepared me, but again, nothing can quite prepare us. So that was that. In 2009, I had just been licensed as a psychotherapist, and all of a sudden I got really bad symptoms of Lyme disease. And, I did the usual route of, Western medicine, holistic medicine, but I also felt called to go to a spiritual healing center in Brazil. And when I went there, I didn't know what to expect, but what I certainly felt was there were so many healing spirits available. And there are different procedures and, treatments that that you go through when you're at a place like that. And one of them was to, be in your room for 24 hours lying down on your bed. And it's when your energy field is open and the spirits are working to heal you. And on every level, of course. So it's physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. And I was there, and I did have a picture of Mary on the wall. And I remember always being very, very connected to it. It was so beautiful. It had this gold paint and, beautiful blues. And my eyes kept going to that picture. And in the middle of the night, I was woken up by this sound or this voice coming from very, very high realms, like up in the sky, saying, "Fatima, Fatima, hold on to the light." And then I saw these beams of light being poured down around me. And I remember thinking at the time, Fatima, that's a Muslim name. And I had grown up in a city in India where, there are Muslims and Hindus, almost equal numbers. And I said, who is Fatima and why is she in this? It was more of a Catholic place. I couldn't place the two beams of light. And I will hold on to them. And I did. And I didn't understand that experience. But the spirits were working with me and my intuition completely opened up. At that visit and subsequent visits, I went back every year. And I, that was my very first interaction with her on that level. And then after that, I think she was, very aware of, how I thought, and I wouldn't understand it. But she slowly started appearing to me. Of course, this is all in my inner mind's eye, but as a very, very powerful vision that I could not mistake. Or I would feel this incredible presence of love. And in 2012, I was, with my partner. I think I'd just come back from a trip to her. I went out for a walk. And suddenly it seemed like the whole sky just filled up with her. And I knew it was her. And she said, "Leave Brandt," who was my partner at the time, "leave the house." We had literally bought the house the year before. "Come out and talk about me." I thought this was Looney Tunes advice. I had no, how is this possible? I'm in love with the man. He just bought this lovely home, this lovely place. I'm happy. I don't understand, but I felt this urge in that moment, like I could leave them and literally keep walking on that path with just the clothes on my back and the shoes on my feet. And I remember asking, the words just came out, do you mean like the peace pilgrim? And she said, yes, like her, but different. And after that, you know, she's just kept coming to me in various ways that way, as visitations, as healings. And then people telling me they were in a bookstore and feeling just this force coming down upon them when they touched a book and were told to give it to me to tell me to read it. And it was a book about her and her messages. And then she started, there was a period of 1 year where I felt like she kind of grabbed hold of my heart. And all I lived with that year was this longing for her. And all I could do to appease that longing was to read about her on the internet in all her forms. And now I did know who Fatima was. and all her different apparitions of Lourdes and in Portugal and all over the world, and watch Catholic movies on Netflix. I mean, part of me thought, what is going on here? And I didn't understand why is, you know, this Catholic, and that's how I was seeing it at the time, different. Why is this presence keeping on coming to me? But the love, I couldn't mistake the love. And the messages were so beautiful and so exalted. So I just started writing what I would receive. And, you know, it's been a progression. So over 10 years, it's been a journey with her for 10 years where I didn't tell anyone. It took me 8 years to tell my partner. It took me 7 years to tell my best friend, who's also a channel. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then I think a lot of it was my self-worth, working on my self-worth, and even believing that this sacred relationship with a living divine feminine presence and force is possible. And then to open and step into the work that she's asking me to do. And I do say to people, I say, I've tried to run from her every which way, but every road only leads back to her.
Oh, yeah. You know, when you have the calling there, you really, you don't have a choice. And I do understand how you feel about keeping it to yourself, because I, you know, I have journals and I get messages in my meditation and, you know, I don't share them unless I'm prompted to, because I feel it's a very sacred relationship between me and whoever comes through in these mm-hmm. things. It's just amazing. So you didn't answer. Did you leave your partner?
It's such a good question, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it was because I mean, he was a soulmate, and you know, mm-hmm. in my mind, we were going to be together for, I thought, you know, as long as one of us was alive and both of us were alive. The relationship changed. You know, we were together for 14 years and it did change. And, you know, she was beautiful with it. She never told me what to do. Mm-hmm. But the relationship began to change as I started opening into not only receiving her, but other spirits as well. And, you know, I was in a different place than my partner. So that we were originally very spiritually connected, but this foundational piece changed, and also the relationship changed over time. And we did end up, I did end the relationship late 2018. We ended it very lovingly and very beautifully, with just a lot of love and gratitude for each other. And, you know, still from time to time, we'll check in or support each other with whatever's going on. But it became very clear, you know, in the maybe the 2 or 3 years leading up to that decision, it was as though she was asking me to choose.
And it was,
do I want to choose the path and the divine feminine? Or did I want to stay? And it was a choice. And it was very painful because I felt like I had to give up something, you know, that was precious, but also wasn't in my next higher evolution as a soul.
I can really understand that, because when I started digging into my spirituality, my relationship did fall apart because I was, you know, learning how to connect to the devas and how to talk to the trees and the rocks and things that you did naturally as a child. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting that when we get to a certain spiritual vibration, it's, and I don't want to use this word negatively, but we kind of repel people who can't accept that vibration. And then at the same time, we attract new people who are on the same vibrational level. And it just changes our whole life. Yeah. Now you have started something amazing. And you were telling me about, I believe it's a women's group.
Yeah. So, you know, part of her, you know, what Mary told me over the years, and which I gathered in books, and I would just close my journals going, this doesn't make any sense. How am I going to do this? And because she was teaching me about the divine feminine Christ consciousness and how those energies were going to come through me. And, you know, I'm a humble person, I think. I'm sure I know I have my own sense of ego, but I, and especially coming from India, I am not the kind of person to jump up and say, I've got this thing, you know. If anything, I will sort of run behind the curtain and say, no, let somebody else take the stage.
Yeah, I hear that.
But the repetitive, the patience, the constant and consistent message that was coming through her in those years was that she was going to come through me, and that my gift as a channel and was going to be opened and awakened to allow her and other divine feminine, and not just divine feminine, but also other masculine beings who work with me to come through, but primarily her. And she said, Magdalene and I are one. I mean, there have been many messages that she's given to me about Magdalene as them as sisters. She says, there's no difference. We are the divine feminine, and they're both different aspects, which to me has been so beautiful to receive. So, you know, as I said, maybe it's from 3 years I started practicing with a friend or sharing these messages from the journals with a very close friend, where it was a safe space where I could be acknowledged and, you know, I could feel comfortable sharing. And then slowly she's asked me, Mother Mary's asked me to start recording and to start including them as part of my work as sound healing. So as a sound healer, she says, bring in a portion where there is channeling. So it's been this slow process of, okay, I'm going to do sound healing, but there's also channeling. And, you know, she's, you know, I think this is just going to be a main part of my work. One is I'm working on a book, and the other is this course that she downloaded. It's a program. I've taught women's programs before, but this one, was very specific that it will be co-taught, and that, you know, it was a 6-month program. It's called Love Revolution. It's all about the sacred heart. It's helping women heal from patriarchy, and connect with her meaning the divine feminine, however they relate to her. And she's very emphatic about that it's not, you know, Catholic. It's not Mother Mary specifically, is whomever is the divine feminine being that they resonate and can connect with, and to heal relationships and to, it's all, she's leading women into their heart, into connection with the divine feminine, to their truth and their purpose.
Wow. That's just beautiful. I have no words, just the emotions that come up and just wanting to be a part of what you're doing is just amazing. And learning how to, because we were raised in such a strong masculine environment where we were always told we're too emotional, don't cry, get over it, you know. And even in business, if we wanted to get into business, we had to come from a masculine energy.
Mm-hmm.
And the most wonderful gift that 2020 is giving us is this harmonizing of the masculine and feminine. Mm-hmm. And you're right, we really need to heal. Women, oh, we so need this amazing healing. So could you tell us a little bit about how women can participate in this amazing course you are creating or have created?
Sure. So the it's underway now. It's a 6-month program. It's called Love Revolution, a revolution of the heart with the divine feminine. It started in May and we run through November, but I plan to hold it again in January, you know, so the next 6 month version of it will start up in January. So people can go to my website, which is maitreyemeliana.com, MYTREEMELIANA. And I'm sure you'll have that as a link. You can go to my website and it will be there. You know, on my website. So they're welcome to contact me, to get on the wait list. I already have people signed up for the wait list for January. So yes, they're welcome to do that. Yeah.
Oh, I am so, wow. I'm so excited. And I'm so honored that you joined me today and you brought your beautiful message. Is there something inspirational that Mary is willing to share with us today?
Oh, sure. Let me just pull out there's so many messages she's given. Let me just pull out maybe a quote or two from what she's channeled. Let's see here.
I kind of put you on the spot.
No, that's good, Ed. Okay. I mean, there's several. I can read you. Let's see here. Okay. So this is, I can read you a couple. It is women's time to speak out. It is women's time to act, to build new structures, to bring forth feminine ideas and modes, gentleness, kindness, compassion, tenderness, connection, and nurturing are much more powerful than the ego aggrandizement and superiority that now holds sway upon the earth. It is time for the way of the heart. So that's one.
That's beautiful.
And another one is, I am Madonna, Madre, Mai, to every child on the planet. I am the Divine Mother. No creature, no person is turned away from me or my gaze. I gather everyone to my breast. Know that everyone has a resting place, home, nest, refuge, nourishment, and sweet, sweet, deep love in my sacred heart. I am Divine Mother to all, to anyone who wants me. Just call my name. That is the only thing you must do. And I am there that instant, my arms around you and my divine child, capital U.
Wow. That is beautiful.
Yeah.
Do you have one more you want to share or?
Sure. Let me just see what's here. Yeah. Your divinity can and will look different for every woman. But what is clear is that she must and will awaken to who she is beyond her ego self. And that is always accompanied by awe and wonder. She must open to her magnificence with the trust of a child. She must call out into the darkness of what she does not know to the light of who she is. It is a search, a quest, and she can only go alone. Though we, divine feminine masters, are watching, waiting for her every movement.
That is absolutely beautiful. I am, my throat, oh my goodness, my throat chakra just completely locked up. I guess that's Mary telling me I'm not speaking my truth yet. Holy cow.
Yeah.
Maitreyi, thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, you're so welcome. It's such a pleasure to share this beautiful, beautiful connection with you. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. So this is Robin Sheridan. So grateful for the many wonderful women who are coming to the coffee chats. Have a wonderful day and join me for the next podcast. Thank you. Thank you, Maitreyi.
You're welcome.
Oh, sorry, Maitreyi. I did it again. All right. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.